There are three things I do when my life falls apart. Number one, I cry my eyes out and dry up my heart. Not until I do this will my new life start. So that's the first thing that I do when my life falls apart.
Hello and welcome to a Chats, a television podcast bonus episode called Three Things. If you're new to Chats and you haven't heard the previous episode of Three Things, first of all, I recommend going back and listening to it because it was a lot of fun. And second of all, basically what we do here is instead of a regular episode, I, your co-host Alan, discuss off the top of my head and with minimal to no editing, three things connected by a common theme for as long as I can without losing my train of thought or rambling. And at the end, we're going to connect all three of them together, obviously, and talk about what connects them and why they're important to me. And the idea is that they're all going to be television shows or related to television because, you know, I like to think that Chats, at its core, is about television and the way that we consume it and why we consume it and how it affects us. So I'm just going to get right into it with my first of these three things. My first of three things is the television show Power Rangers Time Force, which was an American television series developed by Saban Entertainment, and it aired in 2001 in the United States. For those that aren't in the know, like I was when I was a kid, Power Rangers is a localized, Americanized version of the Super Sentai superhero franchise that has been running in Japan for decades at this point. And Super Sentai is about young people in suits fighting monsters and combining in robots to make bigger monsters and to fight those monsters, and it's a good time. Power Rangers is basically the fight scenes from Super Sentai dubbed over in English, plus American actors playing teenagers, recontextualizing those fight scenes. I didn't know any of that as a kid. When I watched Power Rangers Time Force, it was airing before I went to school. I was in elementary school, and I would just watch it, and I was so fascinated by it. And the more I've learned about Power Rangers, the more I appreciate what it was for me as a kid, because, you know, not only was it something, was it a ritual? I think it was really good to have that ritual every day. Like, you know, I'm the type of person who I will wake up at 9 a.m. just because it feels right to wake up at 9 a.m. because I've always tried to wake up around then. And part of it does come from getting up early on like Saturdays to watch cartoons and stuff. But for school, like this was the thing that got me out of bed, because I often like didn't love school. Like nobody like loves elementary school. I didn't have a ton of friends until sort of like the later elementary and like middle school. And so I just kind of would go and go to class, and that would be that. But Power Rangers was like the thing that was like, all right, well, if I have breakfast, I can go downstairs and I can be ready in my clothes and ready to watch some Power Rangers. And I'd usually get a whole episode in before leaving. And Time Force specifically was really cool because it like worked against its own premise. So as I remember it, and again, this is all improvised, so I'm gonna try to do minimal Googling. I have the Wikipedia pages up for these shows, but I'm not like skimming it or cutting around looking for things. Basically, there were some future cops in like the distant future, and the bad guy that they were fighting was about to be defeated, and then he discovered a time machine, went back in time, and they followed him back in time into our present day, or I guess 2001 present day, and dealt with problems in the modern world before, hopefully, their idea was that they would go back into the future. But it was so weird because you call a show Power Rangers Time Force, you call it Time Force, right? And you'd think it's like a time-hopping adventure where, you know, and like the theme song was deceptive in this way. It was brilliant because they would be like in dinosaur land and in like samurai land and like all these different like distinct zones. And you're like, oh, this is a time travel show. Like, this is cool. And what I learned a couple of years ago was not only like was the whole Super Sentai connection a thing that I learned recently, but also with Time Force specifically, they intentionally made that theme song, that like theme song, like visual and stuff, look like a time travel show to entice viewers, despite the fact that the show wasn't that. I don't even know if the original Super Sentai show that it's based on was that. Mirai Sentai Time Ranger, I think is what it was. And what I learned was that all of those scenes, like of them fighting samurai and in the Old West, were from a one-off episode where they went to the set of a movie. Or no, it was like a film set, like a Universal Studios set. And they would just go between sets fighting the same bad guys. Like, that was one episode that pretty much existed just to give, like, give them visuals to lie to the viewer in the theme song. It's fascinating. And while it does seem really deceptive, I find it really earnest and charming. Because, like, making a time travel show is hard. Like, I've watched a little bit of Quantum Leap. And I've watched, like, the time travel episodes of all sorts of shows, like Farscape and... what's another show with a really good time travel? I mean, like SpongeBob had really good time travel episodes. But time travel is hard because you have to make new sets. Like it's very hard to make a show where people go to different settings without designing those sets and having them be distinct, and unique. Like that's the whole point, right? But, it was still a really fun show. I do remember they had, a like green hair Asian kid who was like their hacker, and he had like a dumb metal robot owl that hung around with him. I watched a couple episodes of this recently, so it's not completely based on like childhood like memory. I watched a little bit of it with Magellan actually a few years ago for like a different like failed podcast pilot thing. But all I remember it was just like the fight scenes were great because they were totally just clearly Japanese actors like punching men in rubber suits, like bouncing at them and stuff. And the dubbing was like really corny in hindsight because, you know, those suits didn't have lips or anything. They didn't have mouths, or they did have lips, but I didn't like move their mouths much. So they didn't have to actually dub in the way that anime has to dub, where they have to like match lip movements. They just had people talk over scenes. It's very funny. You can go back and watch any episode of any Power Rangers show. I don't know when they stopped doing the Sentai connection, because I know at some point there have been Power Rangers shows that were just Power Rangers and they weren't Sentai adaptations. I might be wrong on that. I'm like 80% sure, because I know that they realized, oh, like a lot of our audience is in like their 20s and 30s now and have access to the internet, and the like magic of this effect and this adaptation doesn't work on them anymore because they've seen it. Like, God, I remember watching the original Power Rangers, like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the 90s one, which is also very good, but not my favorite. Time Force was without a doubt my favorite. But the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers had a movie, and the movie was not based on any Sentai stuff. They had nothing to pull from. So all of the action scenes were like really weird and different because they were not based on Sentai. And more infamously, the final fight scene where like I think it's Megazords in Power Rangers. It's Zoids in something else. That's what it is. The Megazord fight is in, like, this big metropolitan city, but it's, like, really bad 90s CG. Like, some of the worst CG I've ever seen in my entire life. And it's so funny. And I do recommend going back and watching that scene at some point. But, like, that exemplifies what Power Rangers always was, which was really full of heart, full of moxie, I guess, effort. And it was just about dumb teens saving the rec center. Like, if I've ever referenced that kind of goof on chats before, it's because that was like the premise of at least early Power Rangers, like when they literally would hang out and party in a rec center. And like the stuff that the teens would do would always reflect the times, right? Because in the series, because in Time Force they lived in a clock tower and they had all these plots about like, oh, well, we need to get jobs if we want to eat food. And like, I remember them looking for jobs and that being hard because they didn't know how modern people worked. And you know, there was even like the Wild Force one where they, lived in the jungle and there was like a jungle angel lady and they was on like Angel Island or whatever. It was like some Sonic the Hedgehog shit. I love Power Rangers is so good, y'all. I think most of it is on Netflix, if not all of it, at least the shows, not the movies. Definitely check out Time Force. Definitely, like, I will have put a little bit of the theme before this, but not too much to get sued by Saban, obviously, because I love them. Just watch a couple episodes. Try and get a feel for it, because it's kind of just, like, if you've watched one, you've watched 40 of them. But I always found it cool as a kid how plot would totally progress in meaningful ways, like over time. You know, you'd have a bad guy who turned face, and you'd have like people changing outfits permanently, and they'd get a new range. They always got a new ranger by the end of the series. Usually it would be like three or four at the beginning, and then four or five by the end. Usually like something semi-permanent happened at the end, and then they saved the day forever. It's a really cool franchise, and I think a lot of people dismiss it as like dumb and weird, but even as an adult, I think it's just a lot of fun. And like I was saying earlier, there is something to this idea of like a ritual that you sit down and enjoy, and it is the same every time, and they win every time, because like the world isn't like that. Like shit just happens in life, right? And then you're just like, all right, well, I guess this is the way life is now, and your life is just different. And you know, you can watch Power Rangers and watch 30 episodes from now, the main dude is still bad at talking to girls because that's how he is. That's just his character. So yeah, just something to consider. The second of my three things this week was the anime series Dragon Ball, or is, I guess, words. This is an easy one. I think most young people, especially young dudes, watched or enjoyed Dragon Ball Z specifically. I specifically want to talk about when it was still just called Dragon Ball, and it ran in the 80s, before getting adapted into English in the 90s. Dragon Ball, the Akira Toriyama series, stars a boy named Goku, who is a boy with a really, 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 really powerful boy with a tail, who was left by his grandfather Gohan in the woods, and through a series of events, meets a girl named Bulma, and the two of them go on adventures to collect the 7 Dragon Balls, which when gathered together and with an incantation uttered over them, they summon a dragon, Shenlong, and he grants you one wish before scattering all the Dragon Balls across the earth. Now, the reason I bring up Dragon Ball specifically is Z is known for a lot of things, many of which are just kind of corny, like, you know, long bouts of just charging and a lot of filler and sort of being the quintessential shonen anime, and constantly having people power up to higher and higher levels with just increased numbers and big hair, like stuff that honestly came to define shonen for decades, like till today. Obviously we still see shows like this, but original Dragon Ball is so important because it sets, like, comparing it to Z and what came after it in general, like Super and all that stuff, it's fascinating because it's so simple. Dragon Ball, the original series, is in part an adaptation of the ancient Chinese myth, A Journey to the West, or story, I guess it's not a myth. But Journey to the West is just, it's also about a monkey boy and a girl who go on adventures. And it kind of just takes that idea and then has some fun with it. And it's broken up into all these distinct arcs. And I've actually been reading Dragon Ball over the last couple of months as of the manga, because they're like really cheap on Amazon. They're like $10 for 3 volumes, which is awesome. And you just get this like really nice small plastic, what's the soft word for like soft, not hardcover? Paperback. Hey, you just get these nice paperbacks, and they're just like, the art is good and cute and precious. But I watched it a lot as a kid, and it was just really silly. And I was, again, like continuing the finding the lore in kids shows that weren't supposed to be about the lore. I was always fascinated by like going, oh, that guy ends up growing up into this character in Dragon Ball Z, because I kind of watched both back and forth as a kid. I was just, you know, whatever was on. Like Goku in original Dragon Ball is a kid, and he meets Krillin, and in Dragon Ball him and Krillin are rivals. They are on equal level for most of it, until Krillin quickly realizes that Goku is just too powerful. Bulma is Goku's friend, and she's sort of like his contemporary. She's only a little bit older than him, and she's always talking about boys and crushes, and she's kind of the ultimately kind of is the main character of the series, because she does the most growing, as opposed to Goku, who's just a very strong boy who's happy and positive and loves to be there. But then he meets all these different people and villains. More importantly, like, you know, people know Piccolo, the greatest uncle in all of television, is introduced as, like, or rather his father, because it's complicated, is introduced as the final villain of Dragon Ball. And just the, like, there's something so purely funny about having your, like, evil, world-dominating, terrible villains of your show become Goku's, like, at home, like, pals and buddies that he spars with and, like, goes on adventures with in Z. Because, like, most of the people in the sort of group in Dragon Ball Z known as the Z Fighters were just, defeated villains or rivals from original Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball also popularized the tournament arc, which is another, like, trope in anime where, you know, there's a tournament and they can split it up really easily into episodes or chapters based on different fights. And the good guy always wins in the end, and there's, like, a bunch of brackets, and it's usually really fun. I usually don't like tournament arcs because there isn't a lot of room for, like, forward momentum and character growth, at least as I think. But Dragon Ball, like, OG Dragon Ball, has these tournament arcs that are just, like, really funny. Like, the thing people don't realize is that Dragon Ball often centers its, like, power creep and its power advancement for Goku around jokes. In the first tournament arc of the manga and the anime, Krillin, Goku's bald friend, his bald monk friend, is fighting a bad guy who smells really bad. He's like a stinky dude. And Krillin's like, oh no, he's just gonna, like, stink up the stadium and then I'm gonna pass out. And, like, this is terrible. What am I gonna do? And, like, tries punching him, puts on, like, covers his mouth and doesn't work. And then Goku's finally like, Krillin, you were drawn without a nose. Like, you basically says, like, you were drawn without a nose. Don't worry about it. And then Krillin's like, oh, shit. And then just punches this dude. And I just, that's so good. That's so good. Like, please, please give original Dragon Ball a shot. I will say, whereas the other things in this mini episode aren't as riddled with issues, I think Dragon Ball, coming from 1980s, like, anime manga culture and all of that, has a lot of stuff that's really dated now. Like, while it is really fun and positive and warm, I would say, it's also kind of, like, there's some stuff that's dated really badly, like, a lot of sexist humor and, like, jokes about dudes that look like girls and, like, gay jokes and, like, jokes about, like, making goofs about sexual assault and just, like, why'd you do that? Especially when Bulma's the coolest character on the show. Like, she's just this really charming, intelligent woman who knows what she wants and knows how to get it. Like, she's awesome. And she is often the butt of those jokes. And then I guess, again, like, flipping back to what these characters end up doing in Dragon Ball Z, it's really funny to me that she becomes the, like, their scientist. She becomes the tech of DBZ, because I guess you can grow out of being a problematic teenage girl and just become the smartest person on the earth, which is goals, honestly. That's, like, super goals. But it's just, yeah, if you can get over that stuff and kind of excuse it for being really fucking dated, like I said, the manga is really cheap on Amazon, and you can watch the anime on, like, most anime services, so give it a shot. The sub and the dub are both fine. Again, I watched it as a kid dubbed, of course. The sub is a little bit more, it's, like, better, it's less corny, but the show is already corny, so just watch it however you want, or read it. Either way, the translations are good, except for the part where they write Krillin as the way it would be, like, literally translated from Japanese, which is Kururin. So, like, that's, like, weird, and I never got over that. But, and there's other, like, weird translations like that, but whatever. I'm rambling. That's how you know it's time for us to move on to our third thing.
Extreme Machine.
The third of our three things for this episode is the animated television series NASCAR Racers. Now, you may be thinking, Alan, these three things are supposed to have a connecting thread. What are you doing? I thought we were just going to do, like, cute things. No, dear listener. Well, kind of, dear listener. Also, hi, you're my dear listener. That's great. NASCAR Racers, also developed by Saban. I will say that's not the three things thread. Because Dragon Ball is obviously not done by Saban, but developed by Saban, the Power Rangers people, from 1999 to 2001, it was a show about four primary NASCAR racers. It was a licensed NASCAR cartoon, y'all. And to put it simply, it was basically like janky Speed Racer, which is funny because Speed Racer was always already very janky. Like, they had these cool cars, and they had, like, crazy loop-de-loop tracks that they would be racing on, and all of their cars had, like, power-ups, and they'd go through different biomes, and it was like, off the rails, kind of literally. I had a decent number of, like, Hot Wheels and like, toy cars, but NASCAR Racers, I specifically wanted to bring up because nobody talks about this show anymore. It did not have a long run. It was not that popular. It had 26 episodes before it ended. I believe it had one video game for the Game Boy Color, and then they were going to work on a PlayStation version and canceled it. And then they made a bunch of books. And I guess the reason I wanted to bring this one up is not only, like, the cartoon's fine. I think it's actually all on YouTube because God knows NASCAR doesn't care about this like precious license, but these books, like, okay, so I have a really, like, hyper specific memory of going to a Building 19, which I guess is a thing, like, exclusive, maybe not only exclusive to the East Coast but exclusive to Massachusetts, where it was just a big, like, warehouse store, not like that big, but it was like a pretty big store where everything just felt old. Everything was, like, kind of hand-me-down and really cheap. And it was, like, the kind of, like, store where you could just, they just had a coffee machine and they advertised it and they just were like, oh, you can get coffee. I don't know if it was free or not, but it was supposed to just be like, oh, you're going to hang out here for the afternoon. You're going to, like, spend the afternoon. Like, you're in your 40s and you're my dad and you're going to hang out in a Building 19. And just the name, like, the freaking fact that it's called Building 9, not like Building Number 19. Is literally the name of the franchise. They are definitely not around anymore. Absolutely not. There's probably, like, one. God, I would love to go to one today, though. But what I would remember was going to Building 19 and, like, going through their book section, because they often had, like, a bunch of good young adult stuff. And most of my young adult fiction I read from our, like, elementary school library. But I remember getting one of the NASCAR Racers books. And I looked it up recently. Like, I saw which one I got. I can't remember it right now. It also wouldn't matter to a single person listening to this, I'm positive. But it was one where they, like, went to, they were, the race was in, like, the snow, and their car broke, like, they got super far ahead early on in the race, and then they, like, fell. Their, like, car stopped working, I think was what it was, and then they had to stop in, like, a cabin and just, like, hang out in the woods in a cabin for a while. And I just thought that was super weird. It says there's only four here. There couldn't have only been four books. That's not possible. Also, these are all, like, $3. I might just buy a whole bunch of these NASCAR Racers books. Oh my god, I love the internet. Yeah, and I bet you I bought more of these through the Scholastic Book Fair, because these are all coming up on, like, Scholastic websites. That's a reference for people in a very specific age group. But NASCAR Racers are just weird. I don't have a ton to say about it, because it's again not one of those things I remember, like, vividly. But again, very good theme song, very silly. Bad CG graphics. Again, I guess that's sort of a connecting thread. Although Dragon Ball again did not have any CG in it, but really corny. I never even played the video game. I'm just, like, kind of interested, because it was so weird. There was, like, everyone had a color. There was the token girl and the token person of color. And, like, it's cheesy. I'm sure it doesn't hold up. I'm sure there's, like, some dumb stuff in there that I'll hate now. But I had such an affection for people in primary colored jumpsuits just doing things. I'm really, it kind of explains a lot about the media that I like today and sort of the like aesthetics of things that I like today. But God, yeah. NASCAR races, the good shit. Like, please, someone out there, if you watched or read the NASCAR Racers franchise, please at me. Let me know, at Alan Ibrahim, because I really want to talk about this series with someone. I think it was Tundra 2000. That was probably the name of the one that I read. But this cover doesn't look familiar. I don't remember. I have no idea. God, I'm just gonna read about NASCAR Racers for the rest of this freaking night. But yeah, that, dear listener, is going to do it. For three things. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I've had fun doing it. But first, before we take it home, hang on a second. You thought we were leaving. We gotta do the connector. So, if it wasn't, again, super duper obvious, the connecting thread was Saturday mornings. When I was in school, I got used to waking up at like 7 or 8 every morning because I never slept in, like, I didn't go to bed that late. I didn't have any reason to go to bed that late in elementary and middle school. Because, like, think about the reasons today that you stay up late is, like, oh, I'm watching these shows or I'm playing this thing. And, like, I played video games late, but I also, like, my parents were pretty strict. So if I even, like, wanted to do that, I would get in trouble and get, like, told to go upstairs and go to bed or whatever. So I didn't stay up late, and I woke up really early. Like, that is where that doing that every single like 5 days a week, or I guess 6, because I would do it on Saturdays, was like stuck in my head, and I still try to do it. I don't get up at 7 every morning, obviously, but you know, if I get up after 10, for example, I just feel like garbage. And I loved going downstairs and turning on the big TV that I don't usually get to watch, and just putting on like Disney or Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network, and just like sitting real, real close to the TV and just like watching shows and just like letting the whole morning pass by. And like my folks wouldn't be awake for several hours. So it was just like quiet, and I would have some cereal. Like I totally got to have the like quintessential American kid Saturday morning experience. Just because, and in part it was because I wanted to have it. Like I knew it was a thing and I kind of made it happen. I think that is still true today, where if I know that something is like common enough that everyone does it or it's quintessential, then I try to do it because I like to, you know, I like to do the things that people like. It was so pleasant because like, there's so, you know, if I try to work now, if I try to watch something now, you know, I need to put on headphones because people are going to, you know, bother me, or I'm going to get like 11 texts. And I don't mean to grouse like an old person about like technology has distracted us so much, but like there is something so calming about getting up and eating cereal and going downstairs and watching people in jumpsuits punch bad people or race them or collect things, collect distinct glowing items. And yeah, you can go back as far as you want and think about how these things influenced our tastes. I feel like Majal and I reference these types of shows a lot because we both watched a lot of TV. And honestly, everyone I know now who watched a lot of cartoons as a kid was like the indoorsy kid. Like indoorsy kids watch cartoons. If you're an outdoorsy kid, you like went to a park and you had a bunch of friends and you went to camp. I was not. I was the child, the younger sibling child of two Middle Eastern immigrants who didn't know a lot of people. Like my mom straight up learned English through watching soap operas in a big way. That was like how she learned a lot of her English early on. So we were at home a lot. We were in the house a lot because it was like, where are you going to go? You know, everything out there is scary and dangerous and I don't know any of it. But it made sense. I'm like, yeah, this is a thing I can do and kind of escape to that's not dangerous or threatening or unhealthy for me. And I can just do it as much as I want. And it just felt like pure and wholesome at the time. So I think it's cool. I think Saturday mornings as a ritual were really great. This podcast actually was inspired partially by a new podcast that my friends Ryan and Jen do called Operation Serial, which is a podcast I'm going to link to in the description. Basically, the two of them being around my age are going back and watching a bunch of Saturday morning cartoons, some that they watched and some not, and talking about them from a critical perspective, kind of like chats, doing them two episodes at a time, actually. And they're only a couple episodes in, so if you want to like get in there and catch up, they just finished trying to watch Code Lyoko. And they found a lot of issues with it. And that's kind of the thing I'm saying is, like, if I go back and watch any of these shows, I'm probably going to hate most of them. They're probably really bad. And so maybe I shouldn't watch them and just let those memories stay crystal clear and perfect. But Operation Sierra is really fun. Ryan and Jen have, like, amazing chemistry and a good, I'd say good flow, you know, good, like, rhythm to their podcasting. So that was sort of what inspired me to just do this little fun thing where I talk about cartoons, and cartoons and Power Rangers, you know, the two things of my childhood. So, again, if you liked it, let me know. Tweet at me at Alan Ibrahim. My username is spelled AllenIbrahim. You can follow Chatspot at CHATZPOD on Twitter, and you can email us chatspot@gmail.com if you have questions, comments, concerns. Tell us if you liked this episode of Three Things. And if you want to support us financially and help us break even on this hosting situation, you can do so by donating to our Patreon, which is over at patreon.com/chatspod. That's patreon.com/CHATZPOD. You can throw us a couple of bucks a month, and we'll do some commentaries. We're going to be putting up our first one very, very soon. We've just been, again, transitioning between spring to summer semesters, I guess. But we're going to have our first one soon. And I actually think hopefully we're going to be doing some like stuff in the realm of Saturday morning cartoons. But it'll probably be more like films, obviously, because those are more meaty and enjoyable to discuss, I think. But yeah, definitely throw us a couple bucks if you like what we do here. And I think that is going to do it for this episode of Chats. We should be back next week with another Daisy Chats episode, and then we'll be back on track very soon. And so stay tuned for that. And with that, God, I say with that so much. I'm sorry, y'all. I don't know how to end anything. Have a good night. Go eat some cereal. Just go live it up. Bye.